You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland, senior pastor and elder of Believers Baptist Church, and two of the other elders of Believers Baptist Church, Philip Castleton and Jared Haygood. Jason, I don't want to call you out too bad, but you might have said a lie in one of the early podcasts.
I did. On a previous podcast, I had said that my youth league football team that I'm coaching would go 0-6, and we did win a game. It actually put us in the playoffs, so it extended my season a couple of weeks, and this Saturday is the playoff game that we will be playing, and we're playing the number one team, so...
Oh.
It should be interesting.
Who's that?
It is Lindale White.
Oh. Lindale. We played Lindale in district and when I was in high school, and they were, I don't know, they might have been lying, too, about their numbers because they were a lot bigger than us.
Oh, my goodness. I remember many games against Lindale. I did a radio broadcast against Lindale when we got beat, the Range Wildcats, 72-0.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult radio broadcast.
That was my first, I think that was my first game to ever start on varsity.
Oh, really?
I believe. Yeah, wow. It had to have been. That was their score. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I never came off the field one play the whole game.
Wow.
We had like 17 people on our team.
Wow.
So it was pretty much, you know, everybody had to go. So, anyway, we've got Jared in here today because Jared played a lot of football as well and is a very competitive guy. I found out in the volleyball game the other night, to the point of I did hit a ball in that he called out. I will have to say that was a definite in.
No video review.
No video review. It's same thing, Philip. I've been plagued by no video reviews my whole life.
And you're not bitter.
That's right. So I'm not bitter at all. And with that said, we're going to get to the question, and you'll understand why we brought Jared in. Is competition a sin? How would one make it sinful? And how would one glorify God through competition? And I guess, Jason, is it okay if we go to you first on this?
Well, is competition a sin? My immediate answer is no. But the follow-up questions to is competition a sin is something that we're going to have to spend the majority of our time talking about. I think that I, in my own personal life, have had to try to think about this rightly and biblically, and so I've struggled, and I've had many conversations, even with Jared and with Philip, about coaching this youth league football. Am I creating something that in the end leads them away from God rather than to God? Because if I'm creating a love for a game that somehow becomes more important to them than a relationship with God and how they can live their life in that relationship, then I've created idolaters. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that. And I struggle with the whole issue of manning up, man on man, and you're to beat this guy, and you're to be aggressive against him. And I struggle with the whole issue of this is a pride kind of thing. We're a team, and in our pride and in our aggressiveness, we're going to go out here and we're going to whip this team and we're going to win this game. I mean, I struggle with these questions. So, is competition a sin? I would say no.
I can't say that it's sinful. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not compete. Paul uses running and boxing as examples of how we're supposed to persevere in our Christian, you know, walk in our Christian race. The struggle for me is the heart attitude that almost always accompanies it, and I say almost always. I guess that is. It could vary with whoever's competing, so I shouldn't say almost always. But I know for myself, if I'm going to go be involved in a competition, my goal is to win, mm-hmm. At the expense of somebody else. And I think that in itself is hard when I'm told in Scripture to consider the welfare and the thoughts of my brother, to do everything to the glory of God. I mean, I'm supposed to consider him better than me. Those are things that are just hard to do in the spirit of competition. One question I would have, and Jason, I talked about this just a few minutes ago, a little bit. How are we supposed to understand competition in light of the fall? And I guess that my question would be, and maybe y'all have more thoughts on this as well, would there be competition if there had not been a fall? Is competition, even if it's not sinful in and of itself, is it the result of fallen men's thinking that we would create games, or whatever the case may be, that we would create games in which I can pit myself against another human being, even if it doesn't feed my pride ultimately? Why would that manifest itself in a person's thinking? Is that thought process ultimately somehow related to the fall?
I think it's always a heart problem. Is that how you phrase it?
I wouldn't say competition is sinful. I would say that what would make it sinful would be the heart attitude that is almost always prevalent in it.
Well, I don't think it's almost. There's always a heart condition to it, whether it's good or bad. So, don't you think?
Yeah. I just meant the one that says I need to take Tyler out. We're playing ping pong, and I want to see Tyler fail at this because I want to succeed. It builds my pride. It builds whatever it is in me. I think that attitude, which is very seldom do people get together and they just play ping pong without a competitive edge on it. We can't just be doing it for exercise or to enjoy ourselves, whatever the case may be. I'm not saying people don't do that, but when they're doing that, they're not really competing. So the word competition isn't necessarily involved. So that would be I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I guess I'd be with y'all that competition in and of itself is not a sin. There's no doubt it has potential to become sinful. I mean, there's just no doubt. As we see through Scripture, our heart and who we are as sinful man. Going to your question before, I guess I've always thought, you know, I compete against myself daily to strive to be a better husband and dad and to do well at work. And maybe that's the wrong word to say compete. But I look at competing and then striving as the same. And so would a person before the fall compete and strive in that same way? To continue to be a better dad, to glorify God, to be a great, husband.
We kind of hit on this in regards to worship in another podcast where we talked about, is it sinful to try to be better at music and create a better music experience, I guess you would say, for lack of a better phrase. And so that kind of goes along with what you're saying is we're called to be great at the things, the talents that we have, the things that we are, right? So
to
there
do
is
all
that.
Things to the glory of God, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yes.
So in that sense...
And I'm bringing back to what you said before. Before the fall, would competition in that, what I just said, I mean, would that be competition?
Well, in the light of that, for example, let's think of a way that competition might not be seen as bad. If I have a convenience store and I sell honey buns, right? But there's a store down the road that sells honey buns as well. There's a sense in which I'm going to produce a good product at a fair price because the convenience store down the road has honey buns as well. And if I don't produce a good product, I won't sell any. And if I don't have a fair price, I'm not going to sell any. Now, that's a way in which a competition should bring out something good in me, where I can hope that store down the street does well, that man makes a living for his family. I don't have to wish him bad. And yet I still, in an effort to sell my product, in some way I'm competing. I have to have a good product. I have to have a good price, right? Mm-hmm. But would that, let's put ourselves in that situation and ask, would that be the case if the fall hadn't happened? Would I even have to consider, would it be a possibility for me to give a bad price or to have a bad product, right? Those are only possible because man is sinful. Right? Mm-hmm. Because man is sinful, he is therefore tempted sometimes to give something less than the best or to try to bilk somebody for more than what something's worth. Those are both products of the fall. So when it comes to competition, I ask myself in the course of all of this, even where competition might be a good thing like this, where it produces something good, Even though I don't know that that's sinful, I think that still that is man putting a Band-Aid on something that's broken, and it's broken because of the fall. And I guess that's where my mind was going and trying to understand this.
Yeah, and I get that because, you know, competition helps the economy grow. A boss wants someone who is competitive because a person who's competitive has good drive and they'll do well at their work ethic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good work ethic. So, I get that point. But my question being, if me as an individual, would I still compete to strive to be a better husband and father, or to glorify God before the fall?
I don't know that competition is the best word to use in the situation. Mm-hmm. Because as a believer, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be guided and directed by the Spirit, much as a wind would fill the sail of a sailboat and carry it along. So the Spirit carries us along in our life. And we've already said a couple of times, whether we eat or drink, this is 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all for the glory of God. And then also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So I'm thinking that we're motivated, we're driven by the Spirit to honor God in our daily relationship with our wife, with our children, in the things that we do. And I'm not sure that that competition is the best word to use.
Then let me ask you a question and see if y'all can make clarity of this. In the sense of all that, if I am going out and we're going to play and baseball, basketball, football, let's assume it's a sport of some sort, and my goal is to do all things to the glory of God. So I'm going to give my best effort. I'm going to do all of those things, right? I'm going to do them for God's glory. How does competition, could you and I play basketball together and do that? I would say yes. Could you and I compete against each other and do that? I don't know. And the reason I say that is because the whole, what is produced by competition? If you beat me, there is a sense of elevated pride in you, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's minuscule. I mean, there's something that's elevated in you about you. And that's why you're driving to beat me, so that you can have this one-upmanship. You can have something. So what is produced by competition that isn't necessarily inherent in the game itself? Does that make sense, what I'm asking? You and I could go play basketball, and we could do that to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Can we compete against each other to the glory of God? Because when you beat me or I beat you, something sinful happens inside of us.
I was hoping you'd answer this.
Does it?
I was hoping you would answer this.
Well, I'm asking the question.
It's a great question. I mean, how do we
make that distinction?
Yeah, I don't know. This is why I posed this question. This was a question that I derived, and I've got kids that are coming up, and so does Jared.
Your conscience is bothering you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. 100%. I grew up learning, and it's not the same way anymore. Let's not kid ourselves, but football was a violent game when I grew up. I mean, no doubt. And we were taught that and
encouraged in it.
Encouraged, 100%. I mean, and I wasn't trying to hurt anybody when I played. But I wasn't trying to injure people, but I wanted them to know when I hit them. I wanted them to feel like I don't want to hit that guy anymore, you know. And that's so I struggle with that. Like, how do I teach Jet, hey, this is what you're supposed to do in football, you know? And I want you to beat every team 40-0 and make them feel terrible. I mean, that's kind of just it just doesn't seem right to me. So I don't know how. That's kind of why I posed the question. I was hoping we could answer it, and it's a tough one.
So why would Paul use that example then, in those two examples of running and using sports?
No, I don't know that because I don't know. I see when I read the text is him not necessarily saying you should go box. I think what he's saying is, you know what boxers do, and they compete. They don't stop training. They don't stop boxing. They continue in their effort to the end. And I think that's the analogy that he's given. Don't your Christian race isn't over, so train, be prepared, continue the race. But he's not necessarily.
But why would he use an example that would be inherently evil or wrong or sinful?
It's not evil. Because
you see where I'm getting at.
Yes,
though.
Yes. Yeah. But listen, here's the text that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying
that as an example is why would he use that example?
Right.
Of.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So what he is saying in context is that Christian liberty has its limitations. In chapter 8, he says, this is what Christian liberty is. It has its limitations. In chapter 9, he continues that, and he comes to the end here of this, and he says, this is how the limitations of Christian liberty is done in my life. I discipline myself. I use self-control so that I don't overstep my limitation to somehow bring reproach upon the gospel.
And specifically here, he's saying, I use self-control so that I don't overrun my brother, but the prize isn't winning against my brother or seeing him as something. The prize is that eternal thing. They're striving for something perishable. Our efforts are for something imperishable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I would think in context, too, that not only is the prize eternal, but the prize is soul saved.
Sure.
Because that's part of the context. But what you're saying too, Jared, this he's using in context these examples of athletic endeavors to show self-control. And it doesn't say that anything about competition. It doesn't say whether these athletic examples are good or bad. He just says this is a reality in the culture that I live in, and we all can understand that. And so
is it like an idea of it may not be ideal, but it's permissible?
Yeah, and that's what I said. I think when we can't say
it's not
competition
it.
Is sinful in and of itself, the question we have to ask ourselves is the accompanying results of most competition, is it sinful? And that's where we'd have to say, I think, probably most of the time it is. Mm-hmm. Not all of the time. There may be a way beyond what I can articulate. There may be a time or a way that we could compete and it not bring up anxiety or animosity against my brother or prideful feelings in myself. There may be a way we can do that to where the resulting thing isn't sinful. But most of what it results. Just watch a typical game on Sunday afternoon, and the guy will get tackled behind the line of scrimmage 14 times in a row, and then he makes 3 yards, and he gets up and shovels a spoon like he's saying, feed me. He got 3 yards out of 11 plays, and he's saying, look at me. Mm-hmm. That's sinful, and that, unfortunately, is how most of us respond.
Mm-hmm. I think that probably one of the things that we need to address as our time is running out is our cultural understanding of this, because what we have in culture is a Jesus stamp on everything that we do. So, for example, you cannot hardly go to any NFL game without seeing a poster that says John 3:16. You cannot hardly go to any high school game in Texas, football game, that doesn't have "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength" somewhere in the locker room, on the field. The cheerleaders show it as a sign. And so what we've done is we've elevated in our culture, we've elevated sport to a very high level, possibly even above God. We worship at the shrine of sport. And for us as believers to soothe our conscience, we say, okay, let's stamp Jesus on this in some way. Mm-hmm. And then I would say we've gone too far.
Yeah.
We've committed sin, because what we have done is basically idolatry.
Mm.
And idolatry, of course, is condemned all through the Scripture. And certainly we see the end result of that is people in our culture who at least have some lip service to God, but there's no real life transformation. Mm. And I can't say that about every athlete, and I'm not trying to put a blanket statement on anybody. I'm just saying that our culture has elevated sport to a level that we are committing idolatry.
Big time, yeah. Jared and I talked about this, I think, in Sunday school the other day. It's grown so much since we were even playing, which is not that long ago. Just youth sports are year round. And goodness, like, what are we teaching our kids when we're practicing five nights a week and people are going to church maybe once a week? You know what I mean? What is that? What is the lesson that they're learning there? I mean, how important does it look in your family? And so that's definitely something that maybe we can even do in another podcast. But I guess wrapping this up, we want to answer, you know, the final question here of how would one glorify God through competition? I think there's been some good things said already, but Jared, I think you have an idea probably.
Well, I know for me, I've had to look at competition more than just sports. I mean, it's everything. There's a quote by R.C. Sproul in his book, Holiness of God. It says, "When we understand the character of God, when we grasp something of his holiness, then we begin to understand the radical character of our sin and our hopelessness." And so as I started looking through the worldview of the gospel, looking through the worldview of the character of God, of the word of God, I just started realizing what was most important. And especially for sports, kind of like that hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And so for me, sports, competition, it just started growing dim in the light of the glory of grace and the gospel and God's holiness. And so that's going to be everything. Our job, making money, elevating our family. I mean, whatever your idol is going to be, you've got to look through the lens of the holiness of God. So I know for me, playing sports, that was a huge worldview turn for me.
Very good. Anything else?
No, that's a great way to end it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for the thoughts. Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.